Hello, everybody. You are listening to Natalie Cutler-Welsh on another Up Your Brave interview. Next up, I'm so thrilled to be talking to my new Aussie friend, Jamita Gond. Have I said it right?
You have said it perfectly. Very well done.
So good to have you on the show. We're going to be talking about internal and external energy and specifically staying centered in the speed. Welcome to the show, Gemma.
Thank you so much, Natalie. It's such a pleasure to be here and knowing that you're just across the pond. I'm here in Byron Bay at the moment. I move around the world a bit, usually based in Bali, but I'm here in Byron. So you're right there just in New Zealand. It's so nice to see you. Thank you for having me.
So good to have you on. You know, I heard you mentioned on another podcast and it just, something felt right. It felt aligned. I decided to reach out to you and I knew we just had to have you here on Up Your Brave. So I'm going to hand to you because I know one of the things you do is you are here to serve, uplift, and empower. You are a medicine woman, a mentor, and a speaker. And I'd love to hand to you to give us a little bit more, give us a window into who you are in this world and what you're up to.
Thank you so much, Natalie. Yeah, it's been a colorful life for me so far. And I really feel that, you know, as for all of us, everything that's happened up until this point is preparing us for where we're at right now. We're kind of collecting and gathering all that wisdom and all those experiences. And for me, as a kid, I was super open to energies. I was didn't have a lot of guidance with that, I think, as most of us probably didn't. Our well-meaning parents, you know, didn't have the resources really to teach us how to navigate these realms. And so at a very young age, I started teaching myself how to work with ceremonies and rituals to, would you believe, I guess you could say, close portals to protect myself as I was sleeping. So I was always a little bit on the woo side. And then in my early 20s, I had quite a cancer scare, and they told me that if I hadn't have picked it up, I wouldn't have made it to my 25th birthday. And from there on, things began to change. So first, it really began with the physical body. It began with nutrition, and I started diving into lots of different diets and cleansing programs, and really, I guess you would say, almost crystallizing my body. My body started to change, and as that happened, my energy also started to change. And then I began a really strong meditation practice when I was around 25, transcendental meditation or Vedic meditation, you know, that's working, a very simple meditation, working with a mantra. And as I started to do that, everything started to open up. So I started to be able to perceive energy. There was a lot going on for me, and it was a very powerful time, but it was also quite a lonely time in a way, although I knew I was never alone. But, you know, I think this happens for people as we start to kind of wake up into maybe remembering the truth of who we are, is that there can be a period of time where you're shifting and changing so fast that you're feeling quite different and people can begin to drop away in your life. And I started to realize back then, because I'm very much a leader, so I'm always okay with being a little bit weird and a little bit different. So, you know, for me, it was exciting, but I would see that there would be people out there, especially women actually back then, that may be going through the same thing. I'm talking 25 years ago. And so I started to host these fortnightly, these free groups where I'd invite different speakers from different traditions, different modalities to come in and just talk to people about what was going on. So that I think was the very beginning for me of the work that I do now. All the while all this was going on, I was working in television, I was going to A-list red carpet events. So I'm very much out there in this kind of material world, in this 3D matrix, you could call it, but very, very aware the whole time that I was bringing in something different, that I was kind of not trying to do or change anything, but it was kind of like being a lighthouse. I could feel myself as kind of a transmitter of some sort of new energy. I didn't even know what that was. You know, I was in my late 20s. And so moving forward, I had a business that I absolutely loved. I had been offered a really big deal by Max Factor they were going to pay me a ton of money to make a lip gloss with my name on it. This came off the back of, I was on the very first reality TV show that Australia ever knew, called Big Brother. And even that in itself, you know, looking back, was an incredible opportunity. You know, the things that the internal processes, because you internalize a lot when you're in that pressure cooker container for 3 months. And then coming out and being offered this deal, I said, no to it because I had really strong values of no animal testing being made in Australia. And so I decided to do it myself. Totally green around the gills, no experience at all. Was amazing at creating and the product development, and even, you know, even in terms of ranging in department stores and all of the things. We had magazines, like normally you have to pay to put your product on the front cover of Cosmo and Clio and all the things in Vogue, but they were paying me to do it. It was just incredible. But I had no idea what I was doing. And I ended up over the course of 10 years, I fought for that business so hard because I loved it so much and I believed in it so much. And I, back then, I was a little bit naive and I was pulling in people that I thought I could trust, but I really couldn't trust. And I didn't get things signed and I didn't do things the way that I probably should have. And long and the short, they ended up taking off with $1 million and left me holding everything. And so this was on the front page of the newspaper.
Oh.
The title was She's Gorned, because it's my last name. At the same time, I'd been dating a really prolific actor and that finished at the same time. So it was just this whole, like, all the cards fell. And from the outside, it looked like I was losing everything. But from the inside, I felt like I was gaining everything. Sounds crazy, but all of those experiences that I went through were building my spiritual muscle. They were building my spiritual Teflon. They were helping me to stay centered in amongst the storm. I'm not saying that I didn't have days where I was like breaking down and, you know, wanted to throw the whole, of course, we're human, that's normal. But you start to make this move and this shift, and this has become a bit of a cliche now, but it's so true that these things are happening for us, not to us. And in fact, at the end of it all, you start to realize it's not even happening for you, it's happening through you, it's an experience. So moving on from there, I picked myself up and dusted myself off, and I had a passion in raw food because I was such a nutrition nerd. And shops kept asking me if I would make these creations, that I would spend hours in the kitchen putting prayers and crystals and flower essences and drops. And, you know, it wasn't just about the physical matter of the food. Food carries frequency.
It was the energy, yeah.
It was the energy. And that's why it's so important. Not so much even what we eat is important, but what we think about we eat, what we eat, what we feel about what we eat is even more important. So I kind of resisted that for a long time. And then eventually I said yes, and I gave some of Naked Treaties, they were called, to a shop. And within 6 months, I had 180 retailers that I was sending things to. I was working all night in the kitchen doing the deliveries myself because I had lost everything financially. So I started basically with a $600 worth of seeds, and that's what got me going. And I did it all myself. And you would think that I would have learned some things, and I did. I learned a lot. But I hadn't quite finished off that lesson, that understanding of, I guess just putting not being as smart as I could have been, a little too trusting perhaps, and maybe misplaced trust. And I ended up in a similar sort of situation, and then everything went down again. So I ended up walking away from that business in 2017, but there was actually much more to that than that. I had already started from 2012. I had met my first teacher, and I had started on a very kind of a shamanic path, I guess, and that was starting to pull all the pieces together, and that I knew that that was my calling. So then I spent the next 4 years really unraveling myself from that business until I finally gave it away in 2017. And from that point onward, it was like being on the freeway in a Ferrari and dropping the handbrake. And that leads us all the way till now. And everything that I, collected along the way has meant that the people that I'm working with and that I'm, you know, meeting now, I'm able to meet them at their level. I love to serve, uplift, and inspire, as you saw there on my Instagram, but I love to do it in a way that's grounded, in a way that people can understand, hopefully. You know, it's sort of like a bridge between the worlds. It's bringing in that sort of higher wisdom, but also making it hopefully accessible and digestible for people so that they really feel supported on that journey coming back home to themselves.
Yeah, you know, isn't it fascinating the opportunities for evolvement, you know, evolving and learning and growth that the universe, you know, that our lives serve up to us. It's like you with that, the big brother and the max factor, you know, the, and we can look at those things and say, oh, I made some bad decisions. And, but it's like, it's all there for us to learn and grow. And then the raw food business, which was more possibly more in alignment for the version of you that you were at that time. And then it's time to move on. You've got what you needed. What are your thoughts on that in terms of 2025 and my listeners? What message do you have for them in terms of allowing some things to fall away, be that friendships or businesses or jobs, so that you can become who you are? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, absolutely. It's those sliding door moments too, when you look back, right? And you just take a look at that one decision that you made that could change the course of things. And the question is, who's guiding that? Who's driving that? I think there's, for me, we want to be meeting spirit or our higher self or our guidance 50-50, you know, the whole thing about go with the flow. Only dead fish go with the flow. We need to, you know, it's sort of like, yes, we surrender, but we surrender and then we take inspired action. We surrender and we wait for the synchronicities to show up. This is how life, whatever you want to call it, if you want to call it source, if you want to call it life, if you want to call it spirit, your higher self, this is how it speaks to us through signs and synchronicities. So in terms of, you know, when you're going through these periods of exponential growth, first of all, it's to remember that before that actually happens, there's usually a period of contraction and constriction of some kind. And so you'll feel yourself, it's kind of like, you know, and this is very appropriate moving into 2025, because we are moving into the year of the wood snake. We've just started a Lunar New Year, a Chinese Lunar New Year. And for me, that feels way more appropriate for this year than the Gregorian calendar clicking over. I mean, it was a pretty tough start really to this year with all of the things that were going on globally. But to remember that the serpent, that snake energy, binds and constricts to push us and squeeze us through into something beyond our wildest dreams. And the thing is when you look at the way a serpent sheds its skin, it comes off in one fell swoop. You know, it doesn't like take off bits and pieces. And this is what a lot of us have been doing for a long time now. And the time for that is coming to an end. I'm talking about the healing journey and the picking at the shadow and the going in and what's wrong and what can I fix? And there's more and there's more and there's more. And there comes to a point where it's like, yes, we want to be aware of that and look at that, but we want now, the rubber hits the road and we are being supported on every level, even with the cosmic energies that are hitting us, with the light rays that are coming in from the sun, the X and the M class flares. That's not woo-woo, that's NASA. Like, you can jump on and see how that is affecting the frequency of the planet, and it's doing that for us as well. So we're being supported on every level to drop that skin, to decide that who do we want to be moving forward, honoring who we were in the past, but not being prisoners of that past and really being pioneers of our future. So as we start to shift into that, and our nervous systems are so different now, the veils are much thinner. So even people will be having like spontaneous awakenings. People might all of a sudden go from being having no real desire or curiosity even about the simpler things like yoga or something like that, to all of a sudden being able to perceive color or perceive energy. That's how fast things can be happening right now. So regardless of how quickly or slowly that process is kind of moving for you, for sure one thing will happen, and that is, as your frequency raises, the things that are around you have got two choices. Either they raise to meet it and they come along with you, or they're going to drop away. And it's not an easy process when that happens. It can feel lonely. For some people, it can feel terrifying. But the shedding and the dropping away will be as hard as you want to make it. What does that mean? You know, if it's a friend that's moving out of your life, you allow yourself to grieve the sadness of what it means for that thing or for that person to be moving out of your life. Our biggest superpower that we have as humans that we've been cut off from is our feeling. We've actually been taught to be afraid of our feelings. you know, rather than going right into them and realizing that the feeling in the body, the sensation in the body is our portal. That's our doorway to expansion. That's our doorway to awakening. But we've been taught that to feel deeply, there's a fear. What if I go into depression? What if I go into this? And now we have labels for this and labels for that, you know, and we're so disconnected. But our power is in our feeling. So more and more, you know, I'm encouraging people not to get stuck. We don't have to get stuck in the feeling and hang out there. But we honor and allow ourselves to feel the sensation. Where does it live in the body? And lean in of everything that arises. And if there's sadness there because something is dropping away, let sadness be there. Go into the sadness. And at the same time, you're celebrating the fact that you are popping through, you're being squeezed through into something beyond your wildest imagination. And you think about how this beautiful serpent moves on the earth. It's effortless. So 2025 for me is about effortlessness. How simple can you make things? Also, it's moving belly to belly with the earth.
Yeah, I almost feel it's like gliding, right? They kind of glide.
Yeah. And as it does that, because of its connection to the earth, it's receiving all of the wisdom that's come before. So that means in your personal experience, everything that you've experienced up until this point has gone from knowledge, it's been experienced, it's been embodied, and now it's wisdom. In the Andean traditions, they call it yachay. It's divine intelligence, it's gold. And that's yours. That's what you've cultivated up until now. And that serpent is also tapping into all of the wisdom that has ever been laid into this earth, you know, for generations past, all of the lineages, all of the ancient temples, as well as the brilliance that has been there. So we have to be really discerning and very mindful and careful about what wisdom we are choosing to receive, because in this time, as we know, especially with the emergence of AI and all of the things, don't be hoodwinked by false wisdom. You know, like it blows my mind now that you can, I could listen to something on YouTube, and then I was listening to something from Thich Nhat Hanh the other day, you know, the beautiful Buddhist teacher who's now passed. And I'm thinking, oh, this is beautiful. Sounds a bit strange. But, and then I got to the end of it and he's saying, press the like button, press the subscribe. And I'm like, I've just been watching AI for the last, you know, this. So we just need to.
Do you mean it, when it takes someone's persona and it's actually like Barbara O'Neill, you know, there was that type of thing? Where it's not really her, but they're trying to promote something.
Yes, and so much of the content that's on YouTube now, especially the one that has like the static images, or if they haven't come from the person's direct YouTube, it's come from someone that started up a channel with their content, you know.
Yes.
They're using like, I notice there's a lot of Joe Dispenza AI out there at the moment. So that the AI is mimicking Joe Dispenza's voice, but it's not Joe, it could be like me, mimicking Joe Dispenza's voice and putting a message out, which is my message, but you think that it's coming from Joe Dispenza. So this is all the things that the technologies, and we're right in the age of Aquarius now, which is all about higher wisdom. So all of the stuff that's available to us is brilliant. It's magical. But like with anything that is epic, it's going to be up to us how we use it. And we have to be discerning with it. So that's 2025 for me. I think the year of the serpent, and the serpent sometimes has a bad connotation. People think, but you think about it, snakes are medicine. The serpent is medicine. It's the symbol even for allopathic medicine. It's higher wisdom, higher intelligence, and the opportunity to shed the old and rebirth. I think we're actually going to see a lot of rebirth, a lot of things coming into fruition. It's going to be a very fast and beautiful year, and we need to learn to ride the wave like a pro surfer.
Amazing. You know, it's funny, the feedback that I get for my Up Your Brave interviews and my attitude on life is specifically is they're like, oh, Nat, you're the uplifting one. You're the positive one. But I love that you are sharing some of this. Well, there is a little words of warning about, you know, don't be hoodwinked by false wisdom, which I agree with, but also that it's like, this is such an exciting time. What guidance do you have for people who are excited about this concept? Like they want to shed their skin and they're ready for a rebirth. Are there some things people can do to not so much, you know, speed up the process. It's got to happen naturally and organically. We understand. But there are some things that will support them to really make the most of this opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel for everybody. Okay, first of all, I would say keep your eye on the prize, because as we awaken, as we ascend, you know, there's so many different words that we can do it, as we remember and come back to remembering the truth of who we really are. And I just want to clarify what that is first, because I think we hear that thrown around out there a lot, and some people might be like, what does that even mean?
Some people would never have heard it before. You're right, and others would. So thank you.
Yeah. And remembering the truth of who we really are is, who are we without the conditions, the programs, the beliefs that we have either been programmed with or chosen to take on as ours and claimed as ours? Behind all of that, behind the mind that drives us, you know, who are we when we drop into the wisdom of our hearts? Who are we when we are able to manifest a reality for ourselves? Not saying I want a new car, I want a new house. Like, it's not about the new car and the new house. It's a feeling. When you think about how you want the world to be, when you think about it being free of suffering and in peace, it's a feeling. We don't even need to know so much about the how, but absolute magic can happen when you start to realize how great you are, how expansive you are, and how you are not the sum of the beliefs, the programs, and the mind constructs that have got you to who you think you are now. So as we break free of those things and we start to return, it's an exponential feeling that is actually very hard to put into words. But I think everybody at some point in their life, for example, when you're watching a sunset and you get that feeling of expansion, like awe, you know, that feeling of awe, that is our true essence. But you're feeling that because you're aligned with and touching your true nature. And where do we see that true nature? In nature. And that's where we've kind of become disconnected from it, because most of us, I'd say 90% of the people on the planet, are walking around totally disconnected from nature. When we're disconnected from nature, we're disconnected from ourselves, and we're disconnected from each other. This is where Indigenous traditions have got it nailed, you know, because they're living in harmony with nature. So as this process happens, and as more and more people on the planet, which, I mean, it's incredible. If you have a look at it over the last, you know, we had the hippie movement back in the 1960s, right? And that kind of got a bit twisted up with all the psychedelics and all that, which was great on one hand, but it also had a bit of a stigma attached to it. You know, it was kind of getting there, but it wasn't quite there. And now we're at a point where, you know, there's podcasts like this, Natalie, there's amazing, so many incredible things are happening out there where people are just popping and starting to question, what is the real truth? What is really happening here? Who am I really? Mm-hmm. And as that happens, for that change to occur, the old has to break down. I mean, you know, beautiful Bruce Lipton, he talks about the petri dish. And if you put two, you know, have two cells in the petri dish that are of the same, then there's not going to be any evolution or any change. You have to introduce something that's going to create chaos for things to break down and for the change to emerge. So what's happening for us, and what's really coming in at the moment for us, is a lot of high frequency energy is coming into the planet, and it's coming into us by those solar flares that I was telling you about earlier. They're called X-class and M-class flares. They've always happened on the Earth, but they started to ramp up majorly in 2018. We had a little break in 2020, can you believe? They kind of slowed down and almost stopped. And then they started to get even stronger. And in the last month, we've had more of the major X-class flares than has ever been recorded. And they kind of measure them like an earthquake, like on a Richter scale. So what does that mean for us? When that photonic light is hitting the planet, it is literally changing the electromagnetic field of Mother Earth. So for us, we're kind of like lightning rods, you know, like if the lightning was to come and strike the power box in your house, the fuse would go out, right? It shuts everything down so that there can be a recalibration because the power, the energy is too much for the physical house to hold. And that is what's happening for us on some level too. As we're receiving this energy, sometimes there can be all kinds of strange symptoms going on in the body that you might feel very uncomfortable in the body, vision disturbances, flu-like symptoms. And it can also play out in our anxiety, in our energy. We can feel really on edge, really anxious. And as that light also hits the planet and it starts raising the frequency of the planet, it also means that anything that's on the planet that is not vibrating at that frequency also has to leave. So we're seeing the chaos, which means the destruction and the breaking down as, there's three things in the world that can't hide. It's the sun, the moon, and truth. So everything that's not of the truth is starting to fall. And that can be really, really terrifying for people, you know, because there's a lot going on out there to bombard us with fear. So when I say keep your eye on the prize, it's remembering what we're headed for, what we're moving to, because I really believe we are moving into a humanity that is beyond our wildest dreams in the best possible way. But it is a heart-centered reality. And as that process happens, the old structure, the old paradigm, some people call it the matrix, you know, what we've been, we're living on a paradise planet, for goodness sake. We are on the jewel of the multiverse, where it's exquisite, this planet. Yet so many people feel like they're living in a prison. But the prison is a construct, it's not the truth. Right. So as we start to break that's been holding us down, we're seeing the governments cracking apart. We're seeing all of the things that have been trying to hold that, almost panicking, and they're gripping even tighter. So it's going to get more intense before it gets easier. But if you can just keep your eye on the prize and know that this is all happening for a reason, and focus your energies instead on your internal state, right? Because I'm telling you, we are all connected on this earth. It's like a web of light. In the Andean traditions, they have a word for it. It's called the teximuyu. And it means that whatever movement you make in your part of the web affects the entire web, right? So if you really bring your focus back to you and your internal state and what you can do to alchemize the fear energies that are coming in, how you can give yourself self-care and nourishment to be able to integrate the high frequency energies that are coming in, and there's suggestions I can give you to do that for daily practices, then you become like the lighthouse. You become very centered in the chaos of what's going on, and you emanate a frequency that is very soothing and very helpful to others. And that is also part of your service to the whole. So we really have to realize that it's an internal process that's affecting the collective, and also that our individual processes are no longer only us. We're feeling our individual processes because of what's happening in the collective. And as I was saying to you earlier, that's really important for us to remember too, because that helps us to know that we're never alone. So for people that are moving through it, I would suggest finding communities, podcasts, you know, maybe online programs or things where you have a touchstone, a tap in with people that are kind of getting it, so that you can keep yourself focused on what your true work is.
What a beautiful overview of a lot of the things and the energies that all of us are experiencing. Many of my listeners will be like, that's music to my ears. They've heard of the flares. They've heard of ascension symptoms. You know, when someone's like, oh, I'm sick, it's like, oh, it could be ascension symptoms. That's how me and my friends talk. But for other people, that this will be quite a new context or a new perspective on what we're all going through. So thank you for the beautiful explanation. I think a lot of people get super caught up, you know, in the politics and this person said this and what about that? And not only America, but in their own countries as well. And I think you've encouraged us to look at things slightly differently. I'd love to ask you about work, because you made reference to, you know, we get so caught up and it's a bit of a prison. And has the way that we work, or will the way that we work shift even more going forward? How do you see that playing out?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I know for me personally, Actually, I was just having a coffee with a friend this morning, and she was like, wow, Gemsy, I just really want to celebrate you and how you have designed your life. And it's like we have an opportunity to live our life by design. And how does that look? And this is how I think it's going to change, you know, moving forward. And I think, bless that tough time of the pandemic. I know for a lot of people it was a devastating time and a tragic time, and for others it was a time of great liberation and reset. For me, it was that. It was a break that I really needed, and the space and the stillness to understand a lot of this stuff and make the decision of you've got to decide what's your currency, right? If your currency is money, it's going to be a struggle, because you're always going to, everything that you do is still going to be coming from that old paradigm. And that old paradigm has an energy that comes along with it of struggle. I have to work hard to get anywhere, you know, whereas what we're moving into is do less, affect more, right? You want to be able to have more space and more time to spend with the people that you love. The work that you do comes from a place of joy. You know, someone said to me on a podcast the other day, wow, you do so much, it's crazy. Like, how do you not burn out? And it's like, well, because everything that I do, I choose. And everything that I do, I'm doing it because I love it. Not even because I'm here to serve the world, because that's still of the ego. Yeah. It's because it's fun. It's epic, you know? And so more.
Have you let go of a few things? You know, if you look back at your own journey between 2025 now, but looking back maybe the past 2 years, is there anything that was, it was joy, but now it wasn't, and you let it go?
Absolutely. When I, as I shared with you before about walking away from my beautiful business, 2017, yeah. January, I handed it over to some beautiful people to take over. I walked away with nothing. They kept me on and they were paying me a very small amount of money, but just to consult with them on a few things. And so I had that little backstop there. And then in the May of that year, so it was a few months later, I actually had a dream. I just landed in Peru, because I've been taking groups to Peru since 2013. And I just landed in Peru, and I had a dream, and this gigantic being, I know it might sound strange to people, but this happens for me a lot. And I think it does for all of us. It's just that I've learned to pay attention to it, by the way. So this gigantic being turns up in my dream, and he yells at me, Inti Punku, and wakes me up. And I'm like, who the hell is Inti Punku? What is this? It was like such a huge presence. So I sit there and I go into a meditation. But before I did that, I sent a text, a WhatsApp to three of my teachers. Who is Inti Punku? Who is Inti Punku? Who is Inti Punku? I go into this meditation, and here he comes again into my meditation, and my body starts to shake. And this being says to me, how willing are you to completely let everything go that is holding you back? It's going to take courage, but if you're willing, then I invite you to come and walk my stairs and step through my doorway where everything you are waiting for and more is right on the other side. And then he gave me a process that was to go for 30 days, and he showed me a set of steps. And every day I had to stand on one step and ask the question, what isn't serving me? And one thing a day. And, you know, when I came out of that meditation on the WhatsApp was, first of all, Kevin, he says to me, it's a real place. He said, it's an ancient temple. It's 5 hours hike. It's not five, by the way, it's eight when I did it. Above Ollantaytambo, which is where you get on the train to Machu Picchu. He said, I know about it from the locals, but I've never been. Do you want to go? And I said, yes, I want to go.
Wow.
I said, but he's given me a process. So I'll tell you when it's time, right? Second text message I get from Maestro Puma. And he says, this is the gateway between worlds. He said, it's where heaven, earth, and the inner world collide. You know, everything is accessible from this place. And I'm like, wow, okay. And then I get the third text message from Maestro Percy, and he said, it's a sun gate, and the solstice sun in the Andes is on the 22nd of December, and it illuminates, it shines through that gate. Well, that's my birthday. So then I'm like, wow. So then I Google Inti Punku, and I look at the picture. And what I forgot to say about this dream is, just before he turned up and yelled at me, a book came flying through the air, landed in my hands, and the pages went and opened. And in the center was a sketch of like the top of this hill with a gateway on top, and behind it a huge white mountain, and then around the edges were seven little sketches of these flowers, these mountain flowers. So when I Googled Intipunku, you can imagine my surprise when the photograph that I saw was the exact image of what I'd been shown in this dream. So during that period, I actually had a group, and I was aware, and I sat and I did this process every single day. It's a process I use with people now, actually. It's beautiful. And I sat every day, what has to go? And you know what? In that time, he told me, no more backstop. Cut it off. You've got to completely sever all ties with your old business. So I had to ring, and I'm like, but that means I'm going to have no income.
Sorry, I can't consult for you anymore.
Yeah, I can't, you know, and but also no income. And he's like, don't worry about it. If you trust what you're, because this is also your higher self coming, right? Because I wasn't making the space for the new to come in. The thing is for the new to come in, we got to make some space. So I'm not telling everybody to leave their jobs. And for me, I also left a relationship. Like, it was the whole lot. It was like gone. And I'm not telling people to do that because it's not always appropriate. In my case, it was. And seriously, from that moment forward, wow. I went through, I did the process. I walked 8 hours, my God. And the last 500 meters, I thought I was dying. It felt like I was carrying the weight of the world on my shoulders. And what was that? It was all the baggage. So every step I took, I had a beautiful guardian that was standing next to me, the mountain, and she was saying, step by step, step by step, you're awakening to the truth of who you really are. Make that your mantra. Step by step. It doesn't have to be big. You don't have to get there from here. Step by step. So with that, every step I took, I decided something else. And it's energetic. And a lot of it, you don't even know what it is. It's just making the decision. When I stepped through that doorway, wow, it was majestic. And I swear to you, from that moment forward, yes, of course there's been effort, but it really, it felt to me like I had been on a freeway in a Ferrari with the handbrake on. And from having that level of knowing beyond trust, knowing that not only was I going to be okay, but I was on my path, and that I'm guided, I am looked after, and the things that I need, all I have to do is stay open and watch. Watch for the signs, watch for the synchronicities, take a step in the direction of the things as they show up, and you'll be guided how to create the abundance for yourself or what needs to come in. And everything changed from there, and it's been unbelievable what's transpired since. So I know it's scary, and the thing is we're being asked to do this every day. It's not just of the big things, you know, it's having an awareness of every day, what am I holding? What is limiting me? What are my fears, my doubts, my limitations? And can I lean into those rather than let them hold me back? It has to be a choice, because leaning into those things, even though it's uncomfortable, that is where it's actually an invitation for you to step into the next highest version of yourself. And it doesn't, you don't jump from here to here. Like I said, step by step, make it an adventure, make it fun. How much, what can I do today? What's arriving to me today? And for me, like, this is why I teach a lot to people about understanding the shamanic world. It's a bit of a loaded word, that, but what does that mean? It's just being in tune with the synchronicities of nature. It's coming back to our true nature, which is how to be guided and listen to nature, right? And when we do that, life is like a choose your own adventure novel. It's fun, you know? Not to say you don't have the hard times, you do, but the difference is, you know you're never alone. You know you're supported, you know you're guided, you know that you can call on your mountains, you can call on the earth, you can call on the, you know, your team to help you move through anything that you need to move through. And you know, then you get to anchor the light and be the lighthouse for others as well.
It's such a magical question. So for those of you listening, if you are willing and ready to up your brave, you can ask yourself that question. not just once, but Gemma was doing it daily. I used to ask my clients the similar question, but not daily. That's the step-by-step. And our question was, what are you ready to lovingly let go of? Which is a different energy. However, it's same, but different to what is not serving you. That is more like just straight to the point and honest, what is not serving you? If you're willing to ask yourself that question, let us know some of your reflections on it. Do you have resistance to the question, or do a few things come to mind out the gate for you? You can send us a text 2057. You can send us an email inbox@realitycheck.radio. We would love to hear from you. Gemma, I'm going to segue now to my up your brave question. If you were to truly up your brave for the remaining months of 2025, where it will have only just begun, what would you do or not do?
This is such a beautiful question, because there's actually a few things that I could say, but you know what the scariest thing for me is that would really up my brave? It's actually, I've been talking about having a sabbatical, and I've been talking about doing it not in 2025, but in 2026, but who knows, maybe it's meant to happen. And the reason that it scares the pants off me is not because of having the space, which would be amazing. It's what I know is going to come through when I have the space. It's going to be big. So upping the brave for me would be clearing all of the things that I'm doing and offering, and just having free space to, who knows?
Wow. So by sabbatical, you don't necessarily mean going somewhere for like a year. It's just clearing the decks and see what comes in.
Yep. Because I can feel it. I feel like, and I think a lot of people have this sensation too. There's something there. It feels like a cherry. It's about to pop. And it's like it wants to come through, and it's going to come through. But it, like with everything, we've got to create the space. If there's not, if the void isn't there, the void of creation, then it can't come in. And that's something to say too, you know, if people do find themselves in that space of not knowing, or feeling like everything that they once thought was true for them is no longer true, you know, even if you've got practices or, you know, things that you really believed about your growth yourself, and then all of a sudden you're questioning everything. And that can be quite a discombobulating place, but that's an epic place, because it's the most magical. It's also the most uncomfortable, but it's allowing yourself, being gentle and patient with yourself when you're in those times. And again, staying aware of that understanding, that knowing that something is being birthed. So while it feels stagnant, mm-hmm. while it feels stuck, there is something beautiful and big coming through. And I think that's our mastery, is learning that little fine point there between effort and force. You know, we want to hang out somewhere in the middle of that. You know, it's putting in the effort, but it's not doing the push. It's staying in a surrendered manifestation. Like, you're clear about what you're calling in, and then you let it go. Mm-hmm. And then you follow the signs, you follow the synchronicities.
And I agree with you. And I talk about staying in a place of fascination and curiosity rather than judgment. Even if someone realizes something about their own life or themselves or the world, and they're like, oh, why didn't I see this sooner? You know, how could I fall for it? Or whatever. They're judgy. It's like, no, just be fascinated, going, wow, this is really intriguing. I'm so curious. And that, at least that's been my recipe for staying, being able to stay realistic, but positive with everything we're going through. What is coming up for you, either life or business, in the coming months? And how can people connect with you online? Where can they find and follow you?
Yeah, you can find me on Anchoring the Light on Instagram or my website. I have quite a bit of stuff coming up already for this year. I've got a few groups happening in Peru over May and June. We still have a couple of spaces available. The beautiful thing about the groups that we take there is they're really a journey of self-discovery. Everything is pointing you back to yourself. We're working in the ancient sites and the temples with my family there. So it's experiencing the Andes in a very local way. And then we're up in Lake Titicaca in Bolivia on our Lemurian pilgrimage, which is in the temples of the Lemurian masters, which is a very, very powerful. You know, why are people called to these sacred sites? Because my belief is And from what I've been shown and what I understand is the ancestors and the masters of those thousands of years ago that were creating these sites, they knew these times were coming. So those temples are kind of coded with wisdom, with remembering, with information. And just by nature of you being there and being in that frequency, placing your hands on the rocks, something switches on and something shifts within you. And it's not something that you can watch on Gaia. It's something that you have to feel within yourself. So I think that's why so many people are feeling so called, whether they realize it or not, to sacred sites, whether they realize that they're receiving it or not, it's happening, you know, it's being switched on. And then I have online apprenticeships happening as well. So if you're interested in learning how to facilitate transformational spaces, and then we work also with the medicine of cacao as a conduit for these spaces. So that's something that's open to people experienced or not experienced. It's a very, very beautiful, deep 3-month apprenticeship. And then I have my self-source retreats. They used to be Reset and Rise, now they're self-source. As I was sharing with you before, Natalie, like everything for me is about pointing people back to themselves, you know. Mm. It's not about me having to handhold. It's about giving tools and insights that are there for people to take or not take, but ultimately it's coming back to their own wisdom and their own mastery and knowing themselves as powerful healers, you know. So, yeah.
Such an exciting time. I think some people will feel called to go and see the sacred sites. So is it anchoringthelight.com?
Anchoringthelight.com is the website, and at Anchoring the Light is Instagram and YouTube as well.
Amazing. Thank you so much. Amazing. Well, thank you, Jamita, for joining us today. We've been talking about internal and external energy, staying centered in the speed. Is there anything else you want to wrap up with before we go?
One last thing I would just love to say about staying centered, and that is remember that your true nature is to be an alchemist. What does that mean? That means that you have an innate ability to transform lead into gold, to transform the heavy energies that might be arising either within you or from around you, and you can turn them, transform them into powerful fuel for your fire. You can transform them into blessings for the people around you. So simply just become aware with every breath you take in, what kind of energy are you taking in? Heavy or light? Don't judge it, just be aware. If you feel overwhelmed by heaviness, close your eyes and imagine yourself in the most beautiful place in nature and breathe in the sunset, breathe in the ocean. Feel it in your body, hold it in your body, and when you breathe out, become conscious and aware that that breath out is blessings, it's transformation, it's high frequency energy for everyone that's around you. And in that way, you set up a reciprocal cycle, because whatever you give out, as nothing goes one way, it has to return to you. So as you uplift others, you also receive even more upliftment for yourself.
Beautiful. Speaking of blessings, that reminded me, I know you said before we recorded about having a special word or code or something for our listeners.
Oh, yes. So if you would like to experience something a little bit deeper about the teachings, I don't like to use that word, but the wisdom that I'm offering, if you send the word resilience to Anchoring the Light to our DM, then we will send you a code for, I have a course, it's a month-long course, it's usually $333 US, but I'd love to gift that to your listeners, and just send us the code resilience and we'll send you the details to sign up.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. Amazing. Thank you so much, Jamita, for chatting with us today.
Thank you so much, Natalie. It's been a pleasure.
And thank you, everyone, for listening.